Our lesson for today from the Heidelberg Catechism is Lord's Day 47. So let's open our Psalter hymnals to page 60 in the back, Lord's Day 47. Last week, Reverend DeLon started a series about the Lord's Prayer, how to pray, what to pray about, and we have seen the first part of the prayer where we call upon God as our Father, and now we get to what is called the first petition, or the first request. And the question and answer in the Catechism are as follows. What does the first request mean? Hallowed be thy name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is a glorious thing. God will give his grace and his Holy Spirit to those who pray for these gifts. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, because as an infinitely caring Father, God will give us all that we need for body, for our soul. And so it is understandable if when we pray, we just want to jump in and ask away, God, give me this. God, help me with that. I need you so much because we are so dependent on him. But the funny thing is that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us first to ask something else. He first teaches us to ask something more important. Before asking for our daily food, for forgiveness of our sins, for protection from evil, there are three short requests in the Lord's Prayer that come first. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And those are not so much about our things, things that we think about at first. They are about God himself. It's about his name. It's about his kingdom. It's about his will. Because no matter how much we need God and his gifts, our life is not ultimately about us, and our prayer should not be ultimately about us. It is about him. And that is the heart of this first request. Hallowed be your name. And it's also the key idea in various of the Psalms. And so tonight I want to study with you Psalm 115 in the light of this first petition. Psalm 115. So let's read this psalm in your pew Bibles, page 596. Psalm 115. So that we learn better what it means when we pray that God's name be hallowed. Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord. Not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but they cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but they cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So as we study Psalm 115, we'll look at the following theme. It is not about us. That's the theme. It's not about us. And we will look at 3 points. The greatness of God's name, the hallowing of God's name, and the blessing of God's name. Now, both Psalm 115 and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer speak of God's name. God's name must be hallowed. God's name must receive the glory. What is God's name? And why is it so important? In the Bible, the word name means more than it usually means for us. It stands for who you are, and it also stands for how others know you and view you. When we care about God's name, we care about His reputation. When we give glory to His name, we speak in lofty terms of who He is. We make sure to tell everyone that He is the greatest and the best. Giving glory to God's name is the opposite of abusing His name and taking His name in vain. In the words of the Catechism, when we hallow God's name, when we give glory to God's name, we make sure that God's name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. When we give glory to God's name, we tell both Him and ourselves, and also others, how wonderful He is. And that is not an abstract kind of wonderful. God is wonderful because of what He does, and especially because of how He deals with us, His people. Psalm 115 addresses Him not just as God, but as the Lord, as Yahweh. And that special name identifies Him as the God of covenant. It expresses His love for His people. And what Jesus teaches us in the New Testament goes even one step farther. He is not only our Lord of covenant, He is our Father who loves us very intimately. And so as those who belong to Him and who know Him, we surely can, should be able to tell of all the wonderful experiences we have had with Him already. Psalm 115 verse 1 mentions two aspects of God's name. Two reasons why we hold the Lord in great honor and uphold His reputation. And those reasons are His love and His faithfulness. Both are key words in the Bible when speaking of God, especially in the Old Testament. You will find these together, steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love, also translated loving kindness, is the caring goodness of God that He shows to all His creatures, but especially to His people. It is God's love that keeps us alive. His love forgives us our sin over and over. His love gives safety and gives us hope. And that steadfast love of God is then coupled with His faithfulness. In His faithfulness, the Lord does not forget us a single day. In His faithfulness, He never refuses to hear us when we pray to Him. In His faithfulness, He does not change His attitude toward us ever. Even if we are unfaithful, He is faithful. Steadfast love and faithfulness, two attributes and character traits of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, they are the two that are always highlighted. But of course, God is much more than this. His name, His reputation is greater. And we even run out of words if we want to describe all that we know about it. And we don't even know all that He is. The Heidelberg Catechism talks, for instance, about God's almighty power, His wisdom, His kindness, His justice, His mercy, and His truth. And those last two, by the way, mercy and truth, are basically just other translations of those same words, steadfast love and faithfulness. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray about that great name of God. You see, no one knows that name and its beauty better than Jesus, right? Because as the Son of God and as the Christ of God, Jesus Himself is God's name. He embodies that name more than anything or anybody else. Jesus is steadfast love and He is faithfulness. Or in the words of John 1, grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. It is not about us. It is about this great name of God. And that's what Psalm 115 starts with, right? Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory, because of Your steadfast love, because of Your faithfulness. And Jesus taught His disciples, and He teaches us, that this is the best place to begin our prayer. By reminding ourselves and by praising God about His great name and His reputation as the one who is loving and gracious and faithful. That is where it should start. And now this name of God must be hallowed. Hallowed be Your name. It's not a word that we use every day. Hallow is an old-fashioned English word. It means to make holy or to declare holy, to consecrate. And so we pray in the first request, Father, Your name must be made holy, must be kept holy. Your name must be consecrated. Psalm 115 does not use the word holy as such, but it clearly shows the idea of God's holiness. It means that God is very different, that He is much greater than anything or anybody else. Verse 3 brings that out. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. He is not earthly. He is not limited like we are. He is heavenly. He is lofty. He is powerful beyond imagination. And this holiness, this majestic otherness of the Lord becomes especially clear if we contrast it with other things. When Psalm 115 was composed, God's people lived among pagan nations. And they had their gods, they had their idols, they had statues, they had temples, and they had priests, and they had all kinds of rituals. But their gods were not holy. There was a problem with them. What is the problem with idols? Children, what is the problem with idols? Why do we serve the Lord and not idols? How are they different? Well, the Bible here in Psalm 115 points out what the problem is, and it does that with a bit of humor. Those idols, those statues, they have mouths. You see their mouths? You know what? They cannot talk. Those statues have eyes, but they cannot see. And their ears and their noses and their hands and their feet and their throats, they don't do what they're supposed to do. They can't do a thing. Those so-called gods are just statues and symbols. And they're just as lifeless as any other statue or symbol that we can make or draw or sculpt. In contrast, the Lord does speak. Powerfully His thunder rolls over the earth, and frighteningly His law was proclaimed from Mount Sinai. The Lord speaks and things happen. The Lord sees everything that is going on in the world, even the most secret plans that are being made. The Lord hears it when people sing praises or yell curses. He hears it when they cry tears or whisper prayers. The Lord smells the sweet fragrance of sacrifices and of prayer. and the foul odor of sin. The Lord's hand is lifted high. His arm is strong, putting down the enemy to save his people. The Lord walks on the earth and it quakes. What is the difference? The Lord is God, creator of the universe, infinitely higher than the people that he has made. But idols are designed and built by people. And they do not have heavenly power because they're made of earthly stuff. Even beautiful stuff maybe, but it's just stuff like silver and gold. They cannot help because they're merely human products. They're really silly, powerless things. And not surprisingly then, says the psalm, those who make them will be like them, silly and powerless. So what does that mean for us? When you walk around here, when you walk around in Chicago, you don't really see idol images. Very few people bow down to an image like that anymore. But let's be honest. It's easy for us, even for us believers, to buy into the same kind of silly and powerless nonsense and to forget about God's holy name. So many things distract us from God's holy name that makes them idols. Money is a man-made idol. Yeah, people say money talks, right? But that's about the only thing it does. And even that only has its limitations. It doesn't save you. It doesn't rescue you from trouble. It gets you in trouble. It's merciless. It's unreliable. Influence, another man-made idol. It packs a punch, perhaps, but it is easily lost. It never satisfies. And you can add to this list. We all can make our idols. Intelligence, freedom, power, the pursuit of pleasure, beauty. All these things may seem attractive. They may seem a good idea at the time. But in the final analysis, they are earthly. They are man-made things. They are silly and powerless. They are unable to save. And those who trust in them will be disappointed and will become like them. And so it's very wise that our Lord Jesus teaches us to stop as soon as we start praying and to consider, is our prayer honoring God's holy name? Are we kneeling before the stuff of the earth for our own desires, for our own made-up goals? Are we asking to have more of the things that cannot last? Or are we lifting our hands to heaven, to the God who is greater and who is truly powerful? And that is how we bring glory to his name. That is how we hallow the name of the Lord. By recognizing that he is holy and great and that we are not. That in praying we are not trying to manipulate something of our realm like we manipulate machines and computers and people around us maybe. God is not something under our control and prayer is not controlling him. But in prayer we yield to him who is infinitely greater than we are and who is our Lord. And that is the proper attitude to prayer. It's also the proper attitude to our lives. Our prayer should flow over into all of our lives. In fact, this is the very purpose of our lives, to hallow God's name. Psalm 115 says this toward the end, in verse 16. Why are we on earth? Well, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. And what is the purpose of that? Verse 18, to extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. That is the goal. And so the Heidelberg Catechism has it right when it extends this first request of our prayer life to our entire life. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. When we pray, hallowed be your name, it is a good checkpoint for us to consider whether there are any idols that should be removed from our lives. Does the trust and admiration and loyalty that we owe to God actually go to Him? Every day, in all things that we do? Or does it turn back onto the earth and its limited concerns, our idols? Psalm 115 calls God's people to give glory to His name by trusting Him. You see that in verses 9 and following, right? Israel, trust in the Lord. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. You who fear Him, trust in the Lord. For those who listen to this call, for those who hallow God's name as we ought to, it comes with a promise of blessing. Verse 12, the Lord remembers us and He will bless us. Precisely because the Lord is steadfast in His love and faithful, precisely because of His name, we can be sure that He will give us His blessing. And that blessing is described here as an increase, as growth, verse 14. If we hallow God's name, we will grow in appreciation of God, in understanding of His will, in wisdom and in maturity. As we focus on God's glory, our lives will seem more meaningful, our faith becomes more powerful, our relationships more purposeful. We learn to understand that the Lord is indeed our help and shield, that we are fully dependent on Him, that we can trust Him more than anything else, and that He will give us all that we need, that He will give us strength. And that blessing starts already while we are praying. That's the beauty of prayer. As we stop at the beginning of our prayer to hallow God's name first, our priorities start shifting in our prayers and in our lives. And that is very wholesome and good for us. Father, hallowed be Your name. Your name alone is great. And now I realize that the things I was going to ask for are not really as important as I thought at first. Father, all that I ask You is that You glorify Yourself in me, that Your love and Your faithfulness and Your wisdom and majesty may become more visible in my lives. Father, hallowed be Your name. Your name alone is great. And now I start learning how Jesus lived, who always thought of Your glory and Your kingdom first before anything He needed for Himself. Father, hallowed be Your name. Your name alone is great. And what better moment to ask You to smash my idols, to get rid of those things in my life that I am attached to, but that are distracting me from what really matters. So brothers and sisters, learn first. Learn this first lesson about prayer. Put God first as the Father who loves you and who is loving and faithful beyond comparison and therefore ought to be kept holy, ought to be praised. And you will find then that this first petition becomes a first step of true blessing. No, it is not about us. Not to us, O Lord, but to Your name be the glory. But when that happens, when we bring glory to God, when we hallow His name, it is good for us as well. It is not about us, but it is certainly good for us. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Not us, Lord. Not to us be glory given. We are not holy as You are holy. And so we pray, Lord, that You direct our priorities to You, that You direct our living to serving and worshiping You, that You smash our idols and all the things that distract You, painful as that may be. And then, Lord, we pray that You also consecrate us, that You make us holy in the way we can be holy, devoted to You, directed at Your service, that we, as You command us to be, are holy as You are holy. Lord, we pray that in our everyday lives, we may show our understanding of Your holiness, that we are obedient, that we are ready to follow our Lord Jesus, when that's easy and also when it's hard. We pray, Lord, that the world around us may see that we are consecrated to you, and that because of us, your name may not be blasphemed, but glorified. We pray that you give this with us in the week to come, to hallow your name. We pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.